Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, beginning with the 15th verse. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault, between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times 7. Therefore the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, there was one brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and the payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. Out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when the same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. I think we need to start with a little bit of example, because there's a whole lot going on here that we tend to easily gloss over and misunderstand. So I'm going to need a little help. Megan, come help me. Come on. Confirmands always get picked. Okay. For the moment, I'm your brother. Okay. All right. Now, I want you to look and see where the end of the pews are there. Mm-hmm. I want you to imagine there's a cliff right there. All right? And me, I don't know there's a cliff there. You can't see the cliff. You just happen to know that there's a cliff there. Right? But I don't know what's there. And I want to go walking that way. Okay? What's going to happen when I get there? I'm going to fall off, and I'll get all mangled up, and I might die, right? So, I'm going to go walking there. What do you do?
Tell me there's a cliff.
What?
Tell me there's a cliff.
There's a cliff? I don't see a cliff. Stop. You tell me to stop. Okay. But look at you. You're way over there. Where should you be? Well, come on. Okay. Now, should you be standing in front of me, blocking me? Why would you do that? Yeah, you think you're going to stop me? You know what'll happen? You'll fall off the cliff with me. You know where you should stand? Right behind me. You know why? It's safer there. Right? Just stand behind me and try to talk to me. Right? Tell me. Don't keep going that way. There's a cliff there. You can't see it, but it's there, right? Stop going that way. That's what you're supposed to do, right? So stand by me. Okay, here I go.
Stop. There's a cliff right there.
I don't see it. Okay? All right. So, now, you can't convince me. So, you need help, right? Because you don't want me to go off the cliff. I'm your brother, right? So, you get help. You say, hey, Maddie, come on. Hey, Denton, come on. See? See? There are more of you, right? Now, there are more people here. They might be able to convince me. Right? Now, you're all standing behind me, and I'm still going this way. Da, 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 da. And what are you doing? All of you? Okay, I can't hear it. But stop, there's a clip. You know, you're not very convincing. Come on, let's pack up a little because I'm almost at the cliff here. Okay, but I'm not listening to you. I'm still going this way, right? So what do you do next? You get more help, don't you? Look at all these people to help. All right? And then you say, what do you tell them? What do you tell them? Stop me because I'm going to go over the cliff. Tell them, right? So everybody, I'm getting ready to go over the cliff. What do you do?
Stop.
All of you people are telling me to stop because there's a cliff here. You know what? There's a cliff here. I believe you. I better not go this way. I'm going to change my mind and turn around. See, what's the problem here? You're now in the way. Okay? What do you have to do now to keep me from going over? Look, I'm on the edge. I'm about to fall off. What do you have to do? You have to get out of the way. You have to turn around too, don't you? Okay, so you turn around and we go that way. That is repentance and forgiveness. Thanks, guys. You can go sit down. You got notes to take. You may not be aware of this, but for all intents and purposes, the word repentance and the word forgiveness are synonymous. They mean the same thing. What does repentance mean? Does it mean to beg for your life? No, doesn't mean that at all. Does it mean to ask for forgiveness? No, doesn't mean that. To repent means to change your mind. I want to go this way. Now I want to go this way. I have repented. That's all it means. What does forgiveness mean? It means to change your mind. I think this about you. Now I think this about you. All right? You see, when we think forgiveness, we think of God's forgiveness. And we should, and we'll get to that in a minute. That's important stuff. But that assumes the power over life and death. Your life is in my hands. Will I exact my judgment against you? Or will I show mercy? That's the piece behind it. It isn't begging at the court and then the court choosing to let you go free. It is the choice. To forgive is to change your mind. When your brother sins against you and changes his mind, to forgive him, you must change your mind. But did you notice the problem here? When I was at the cliff's edge and I changed my mind, I repented. Those that were seeking my repentance now stood in the way unless they also turned and forgave. Forgiveness and repentance are the same. Who's your favorite disciple? I don't know about you, mine's Peter. Peter is accessible. He says the things I want to say. You know? He doesn't sound all pious and holy. He's every man's disciple. And after Jesus gives these instructions, what does he say? He says exactly what you'd expect him to say. Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Now, we typically don't make too much of that, do we? It's just the kind of thing Peter says. Do you realize how absolutely horrible that statement is? I bet you don't. Listen to it again. Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times. See, there's a little piece here you've probably not realized. Jesus standing right there. Peter standing right here. He says, Lord, how often does my brother have to sin against me and I forgive him? 7 times? Or what's implied? How many times do I have to forgive him before I kick him to the curb? Jesus is there. Peter's here. Who's standing right there? Andrew. Peter's little brother. Talk about sibling rivalry. Andrew, the follower of John the Baptist, who, when he sees Jesus and asks John who he is, he tells him, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And Andrew follows him. He doesn't just follow him. He goes and gets his big brother Peter. At that point, Simon. And says, Simon, I found the Messiah. Come on. Little brother Andrew goes and gets Simon and brings him to Jesus. And Simon becomes the guy. Right? Andrew's the one that gets him, but Simon becomes the guy. He's the one that speaks up. He seems to be standing at Jesus' right hand, right? He's the one that gets called Peter. Perfect Peter. Right? And when Jesus gives instructions about reclaiming your brother, forgiving your brother, what does Peter do? He says, Lord, how many times does my brother have to sin against me and I forgive him? 7? How many here have brothers or sisters? Okay. Sibling rivalry is a terrible thing. Growing up, I've got 2 brothers and a sister. And this imaginary notion we have of the nice family with brothers and sisters loving each other and caring for each other just doesn't really reflect reality, does it? My brother, my older brother, was always picking on me, making my life miserable. What did I do about it? Well, I picked on my little brother, of course. My sister would always do everything she could to make our lives miserable, and then when we reacted, we'd get in trouble. We all competed. We all continually sinned against one another. Why? Well, think about it. Mom and Dad did the best they could for us, but we never had much. We weren't rich, you know, so we'd have dinner and we'd compete for the last drumstick, right? We would compete to see who went first. We would compete for shotgun seat in the car. You'd compete for everything. Why? Because there are limited resources, which in a child's mind means there is limited love. Parents do everything they can to love their children, but they have limited resources. And if they do limited things to demonstrate their love for their children, the natural implication a child will make is that my parents have limited love for me. And if there's a limited supply of love, I want it all. So you compete for it. It's natural. We all fight for our parents' love. We all want to be first. We all want the attention. But is that what a brother should be? No. When Jesus died on the cross for our sins, this was God's atoning work for us, the payment of our infinite debt of sin. That, what was that debt that the king forgave? 10,000 talents? If you look at the notes in your Bible, you'll probably see that a talent equals 20 years' labor. 200,000 years' labor, that's what this man owed, and that's what was forgiven him. God paid the penalty for our sin by Christ's death on the cross. But remember, we're not simply speaking about the atoning sacrifice of God the Son incarnate. We are speaking of the self-sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our brother. Because we are God's adopted children. We are our Father's adopted children, and Jesus Christ is our brother. How should brothers behave? How should sisters behave? As Jesus behaved. Not lording it over our siblings when they're wrong and we're right. Not trying to make their lives difficult so our lives are better. But forgiving when our loved ones repent. When they turn around. Not beg for forgiveness, by the way. When that man begged that the king would forgive him had he repented. No. There is no evidence of repentance. Only forgiveness. What does he do? He says, "Don't kill me. Don't take everything I have. Don't take my family. Don't sell us into slavery. Please, I will pay." Well, that's a lie. Could he pay 200,000 years of labor? No. There is no evidence that this man repented, and yet the king forgave him. Did the other man repent? No. He didn't repent. He begged for clemency. Just like the first man begged for clemency. But there's no evidence of repentance. There's no actual changing of the mind. Only begging for repentance. Or begging for forgiveness. The king forgave before there was evidence of forgiveness. The man was likewise responsible to forgive before there was evidence of repentance. Jesus Christ died while we were yet sinners, before there was evidence of repentance. Why? Because that's the only way repentance can really happen. You saw the example. It didn't matter whether or not I repented or not at that moment. I'm at the cliff's edge. If those telling me I'm sinning, I'm going the wrong way, if they don't forgive, if they don't change their minds, I'm still on the cliff's edge. I'm still in danger of falling off the precipice. Forgiveness must precede repentance. Why? Imagine if you have not forgiven and you go and challenge someone on their sin. What's going to happen? It's not about, at that point, gaining a brother, which, by the way, is the point of those instructions. It isn't church discipline. It isn't, I'm right and you're wrong. It isn't being righteous and lording it over them. It's gaining a brother. If your goal is to gain a brother, then your task is to forgive them first. Because if you haven't forgiven them, how can they turn around? How can they change their mind? Christ forgave us while we were yet sinners. Go and do likewise. Amen.